You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Mark chapter 4, verse 34. Last time we met, we looked at the records, or we looked at records regarding certain parables that Jesus Christ taught the multitudes and then explained to his disciples. And we're going to pick up the record back in Mark chapter 4, verse 34. Says, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, speaking of the day in which he spoke these parables to the multitudes and expounded them to the disciples, when even was come, so the end of that day, he said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. So we know from our biblical reckoning of time that the end of a day came at evening. That would be the beginning of the next day. So the end of the day in which he taught everybody, that evening, the next day, they got into a ship to cross to the other side, to the other side. If you go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, we're going to pick up the record there. Matthew 8, verse 18. The parallel record to this is in Mark 4, 37 to 41, and Luke 8, 23 to 25. But in Matthew 8, 18, it said, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. So this certain scribe came and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he's like, well, I move around all the time. I'm not a place to stay, a place to rest. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their what? Dead. And that's a pretty intense thing to say, right? I mean, when you think about it, if your father or loved one had just passed away, you know, he said, allow me to go bury this person first. And Jesus said, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. That was more important for Jesus Christ, in his eyes, was more important for this disciple to follow him, to continue following him, than to even take that time out to go bury his father. Verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was what? Asleep. Now this was at evening. So the sun had set, and it was dark. It was getting into the nighttime. And they're out on the sea. And this storm shows up and covers the boat in water. But he was asleep. And his disciples, verse 25, came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you what? Fearful. O ye of little faith, of little believing, why are you afraid? Which seems like a kind of silly question, right? Because it's dark out and the waves are crashing on the ship and covering it in water and there's a huge storm. People get scared of that kind of stuff. But Jesus Christ's response was, why are you fearful? What is there to be afraid of? And that is because he walked with the Father. He knew that God would take care of them, no matter what the situation was. Jesus Christ was always oriented with God's word and never with the circumstances surrounding a situation. There could be this great storm crashing against the ship and Jesus Christ not worried. Not worried. Because his confidence and his trust was in God. So it doesn't matter what's going on around him. And that was his question to his disciples, the people who followed him. Why are you afraid, O ye of little believing? And that's why they were fearful. They weren't at that place that Jesus Christ was in their believing, to know with a certainty that God would take care of them. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great what? Calm. There was a great calm. So all Jesus Christ needed to do was get up and tell the wind to stop. Tell the waves to stop. He literally got up and spoke to the weather. And it stopped. But that was Jesus Christ's believing. That God would take care of this situation. Verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Obey him. And so Jesus Christ, by a miracle, stops the storm, and they're safe out on the Galilean Sea. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, very good at speaking that part, Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Okay? So let us recall here that we're still looking big picture-wise at records that occurred between Jesus Christ calling Levi, which we looked at several weeks ago, and the time of Levi's great feast. We're sort of still filling in this gap. And here Jesus Christ sails to the other side of the Galilean Sea into this country, and he meets, according to Matthew, two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. So these two gentlemen who hung out near the tombs were possessed with devils, and to such an extent that people did not want to go anywhere near that area. They did not want to pass by that way because of the ferocity of these men. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" So they cried out to him. Verse 30, and there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine, it's a lot of pigs, feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." That word "go" is the word that means go out, get out, leave. And then the Greek, there is no inference or mention of a going out and entering into. It's not, there's like a different expression for like leave here and go here. It's just get out. Okay, so that's what Jesus Christ said, get out. And that's important because the verse before says, the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Okay? So they're begging, like, if we get kicked out, can we go into the pigs? Jesus Christ just said, get out. And when they were come out, because he told them to get out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So they were kicked out, They then went into the swine, and that swine ran themselves off a cliff into the sea and died in the water, basically drowned in the water. Now we're going to read the same record in Luke chapter 8, verse 26, to get a little more information. Matthew says that there were two men. The records in Mark and Luke do not speak of there being two men, but that's how many were cited in Matthew. Luke 8, verse 26. And so we're going to take a look at this record in terms of what happened to these devil spirits. And a lot of people read through that record quickly and think that Jesus Christ cast them out and threw them into swine, and the swine ran down and killed themselves, which is like a weird thing to do. I mean, it's great that the devil spirits were kicked out of these men, but to then murder all of these pigs is strange. So let's take a look. Luke 8:26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Different name for the same area. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but where? In the tomb. So this is one of the two men spoken of in Matthew. The word devils in verse 27 is the Greek word daimonion. Daimonion. And it means multiple lesser devil spirits. It kind of looks like the word minion when you see it written down. Like multiple lesser devil spirits, the minions. He had multiple devil spirits a very long time. He was naked, and he lived in the tombs. You know, stuff possessed people would do. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded, he, Jesus Christ, had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and was kept, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So Jesus Christ is in the process of kicking out this devil spirit, and he says, "No, don't torment me." And then we get some background on this. This guy was often caught and bound up, perhaps by the people in the surrounding areas, with chains, with fetters. So they like chained him up and chained him to walls and stuff. That's what fetters are. And he break the bands. So he had so many devil spirits going on that he had supernatural strength. He would break these bands, and then he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Okay. That word devil is a different word. It is the word daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, and that is a ruling devil spirit. So that's like the guy in charge, okay? So the devil spirit in charge would drive him into the wilderness. And in verse 28, it's that he who was speaking to Jesus was this big bad devil spirit, this leader devil spirit. Okay, so that's who's talking to Jesus. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." That's the leader devil spirit talking. And remember, he's got all these minion devil spirits working with him. Verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? Speaking to the devils. And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And that devils, again, is the multiple lesser devil spirits. The daemonium. So he says, my name is Legion, which is, the word Legion itself means a great grand group of things. Because many devils were entered into him. And they, verse 31, they, that word they is not in the original text. It should be singular. It should be he. He besought him, the ruling devil spirit besought Jesus Christ, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Okay, and the word deep there is the abyss, abusos. That they would not just cast him out into the abyss, to nothingness. So verse 31 is the ruling devil talking to Jesus Christ. This section of scripture gets a little fuzzy because of all the he's and they's and pronouns. So we're going to take it a little slow here, but and he, that they should be he, besought him, Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus Christ, would not command them, the devils, to go out into the deep, into the abyss. Verse 32. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they, so this section, is the lesser devils talking to the ruling devil. And they, the daemonian, besought him, the ruling devil spirit, that he would suffer them to enter into the swine. And he, the ruling devil spirit, suffered them. So they're like, can we, since we're getting kicked out, they talked to the ruling devil spirit and said, can we go into the swine? Can we go into the swine? Can we go into the swine? And he suffered them. He allowed it. So it wasn't that Jesus Christ kicked these devils out and said, yeah, go into the swine. That'll be a good place for you. As they were being evicted, as it said in Matthew, go, just get out. They besought the ruling devil, can we go into the swine? And he allowed it. Verse 33, and they went. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked, and they drowned there. And they drowned there. Go to Mark chapter 5, verse 13. So it wasn't that Jesus Christ kicked these swine out, or kicked these devil spirits out and into the swine. It's that they besought their leader, this legion of devil spirits besought their leader that they could go into the swine. Mark 5, 13. And to just give you the scope of what was happening, this is the same record, but it's the one place where this detail is mentioned. And forthwith Jesus, and again, this is not in the original text, it's just the word he, because Jesus did not give them leave. It is speaking of the ruling devil spirit, gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, the minions, went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000. Can you even imagine what 2,000 pigs looks like? But that's this whole herd of about 2,000 pigs go running violently down off the cliff and into the sea. That must have been crazy. And it speaks to the scope of the amount of devil spirits this dude had, or these guys had. You can go back to Luke 8. So what deliverance? These men who made it difficult for anyone to pass by that area, who lived in the tombs, who broke the chains that people used to bind them up at one time, running around naked and bothering people, these guys were delivered. And this massive amount of devil spirits is cast into the swine who all perish. Luke 8:34. When they that fed them, the people responsible for the pigs, saw what was done, they fled. They ran out of there and went and told it in the city and in the country. They told it everywhere. Hey, we were watching about 2,000 pigs, and guess what happened? That must have been quite a story. And they told it in the city and in the country. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. Remember, they didn't head that way anymore. They kind of steered clear of that place. But they came out to see what happened. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were what? Afraid. Afraid. And this is the word afraid. They were freaked out. This was the naked guy who gave him trouble all the time and couldn't be chained up. And here he was, clothed, in his right mind, hanging out with Jesus, and they were scared. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So the witnesses who saw it happen said, this is what happened. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Why? They said, Jesus, they probably didn't know his name. They said, you need to get out of here. Why would they say that? Because they were afraid. They were afraid. They couldn't comprehend what had happened. They just couldn't figure it out. 2,000 pigs go hurling off the side of a cliff. Here's the crazy guy sitting fine, and that was all they could handle. They were afraid. They asked him to leave. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. Can I come with you? But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Okay, and that's set in stark contrast to what he had just experienced in the Gadarene area. These people were afraid. They sent him away. And when the man, it only speaks of one of the two men, but one of the two men wanted to follow Jesus. Wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you hang back and tell everybody what God did for you. You tell everybody about the deliverance that God has provided to you. So this man became a witness for Jesus Christ in that area, because Jesus Christ was basically asked to leave. And so this man who could have followed Jesus Christ was asked instead to hang back, tell people about God, tell people what God has done for you, and be that witness, because Jesus Christ wasn't welcome there, which is pretty cool. And it talks about later that people from all over these areas surrounding Galilee came to see Jesus Christ. So if you think about the witness that this guy must have had in that area, it was probably profound. Because Jesus Christ himself was asked to leave. He couldn't stick around and teach people. That's what he did wherever he went, right? Wherever he went to teach God's word. But these people asked him to leave. The first thing he did when he got there was run into this guy. He didn't have an opportunity to speak the word there. But he asked this guy to hang back. Tell people what God did for you. That's pretty cool. Verse 40 again, and it came to pass when Jesus was returned, that returned to his city would be Capernaum. So he heads back over the Sea of Galilee and back to Capernaum. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. We read this record briefly before, way back when we had to fill in the gaps of what happened between calling Levi and then Levi's great feast. So we're going to check these out just as a reminder, because we, with that record of the casting out of Legion, we kind of finally get back to where we were with Levi's feast. Matthew 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Remember that? Verse 17. And then Jesus Christ reproves them, and he finishes by saying, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And we went over the meaning behind that. Verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, so at this feast, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall what? Live. So this is the record of Levi's great feast. And it ends with a certain ruler coming out about his nearly dead daughter. Okay? Mark chapter 5. We'll just get that little bit of background so that we can piece it together. Mark 5, 22. So this is after Jesus comes back to the other side. Well, we'll get a head start in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So there we go. And Levi's feast happens somewhere between this verse 21 and this verse 22. So those records that we read in Matthew 9, that's when the feast is happening, because verse 22 says, and behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Okay, so that's the timing of all this. He comes back to the other side. Matthew has the record of what happens at the feast. And then Jairus comes towards the end of that feast and beseeches Jesus Christ to come heal his daughter. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. There's quite a crowd, all pressed up against him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. So she came into the crowd from the back and touched his what? Garment. Touched his clothes. So you have a woman who has this disease, this issue of blood, 12 years, and has sought out every doctor she can find. She spent all her money trying to get better and was only getting worse. When she heard of Jesus Christ and what he had done for the multitudes of people that he had healed, she came just to touch his clothes. Verse 28, why? For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I will be whole. I will be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That was her believing. She had tried everything else. She had spent all that she had. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Right away, it was gone, and she could feel it. She could feel it was gone. That's immediate deliverance. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, which is the word dunamis or power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, that's a funny question to ask when you're in the midst of a crowd. And that's what his disciples said. His disciples said unto him, "Do you see the multitude thronging thee, crowding around thee, pressing up against thee, and you ask, who touched me? All these people are." And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Right? God shows him who did it. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith, thy believing has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." It was your believing that made you whole. Right? And that's what it is. It's our believing that heals us. It's God's power, and it's our believing in that power that operates it. And this woman did the same thing. She believed. She believed that she just touched his clothes, that's all she needed. And she was healed. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." So they're on their way, and they didn't get there in time. "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "I'm sorry I was too late. If only this crowd wasn't so packed, we could have made it. I feel terrible that we couldn't get there in time." As soon as the people came and said to the ruler, "Your daughter is dead, why do you trouble him?" Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Because Jesus Christ understood what that news could do to somebody. "You're too late. Your daughter's dead." Jesus Christ said, "Don't be afraid. Stop it." Because it was going to be this man's believing that took care of his daughter. "Be not afraid, only believe." Just like on the ship. "Why are you guys afraid? Ye of little faith, just believe." Verse 37, "And he suffered no man to follow him." He didn't allow anybody to follow him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Because all these other people, it's too late. But he didn't want that following them around. Verse 38, "And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly." It's all these mourners. "And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? Why all this mourning? The damsel is not dead, but what? Sleepeth." And they said, "Oh, my bad. I didn't know that." No. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed so hard at Jesus Christ because he said, This girl's just sleeping. And they said, "What are you, some kind of idiot? What are you, crazy? She's dead." They laughed him to scorn. They made fun of Jesus Christ. But when he had put them all out, so he didn't allow these other people to follow him who came bearing this terrible news. And then when all these other people make fun of him for what he says, he kicks them out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And that's important because he kicks out the unbelief. He gives no place to it. The people who came bringing the bad news, they came bringing bad news. The people that showed up or that were there when he showed up laughed him to scorn. And he kicked them all out. Because he wanted the mother and the father to believe, to not be afraid. Verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. So this 12-year-old girl is raised by Jesus Christ. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So Jesus puts out the unbelief the whole way by telling Jairus not to be afraid, by permitting nobody else to follow them, and then by kicking out the masses and the mourners who laughed him to scorn. And here the daughter is saved. Here the daughter is saved. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And we're going to wrap it up in Matthew chapter 9, verse 24. And so we see in these records tonight, great deliverance. And we see the mechanics at which that deliverance is achieved. The foundation of it is to not be afraid, but to believe. And we see how Jesus Christ operates with great confidence in God every step of the way. Matthew chapter 9, verse 24. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. So remember, he asked them not to tell anybody, but the fame of him went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to heal you? And they said unto him, Yes, Lord, we do believe. And it's pretty crazy because two blind men followed him back to his house. Doesn't say how, but they did. Verse 29, Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And that's what it is. According to your believing, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, because they believed. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. It seems to be how it goes. Don't tell anybody. Okay, I'm telling everybody. And they spread his fame abroad into all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casts out devils through the prince of devils. And so that accusation continues to follow him further still. This is now the third time that the Pharisees have accused Jesus Christ of being able to do this stuff because he himself had devil spirits. So things are not changing. But we'll pick up the record next week to see where Jesus Christ goes next. We see that the Pharisees continue to accuse him and to not really love the things that Jesus Christ is doing for the people and the word that he is teaching, which are against their traditions. And we see the great deliverance that Jesus Christ is bringing people as they believe God's word.